been in the storm. It seems like forever. Nights of confusion have been so long. Your ship has lost anchor, and the storm's got you drifting. Your night's almost over. You can ride
Before I start the sermon, a word for the youth group. We are scheduled to go to the infield from 6 to 8 tonight. There's supposed to be a thunderstorm at 3 p.m. If AccuWeather is right, how often does that happen? It's supposed to clear up and be nice from 6 to 8 when we're at the infield. But if parents and guardians would stick close to your phones, I'll let you know if the weather doesn't clear up, whether they're open or not, because they always close down the attractions there when the weather isn't nice. I've had a lot of experience with children in the last 2 weeks. We had a family of five staying with us. Some of you may have met the Beers who were with me last week. I think they're Ralph's long-lost relatives. He didn't think so, but apparently there are more, and they say bear, even though it's spelled beer. Apparently there are more of them in Richland County than there are in Germany, Ralph. Well, they left Wednesday, but in the 2 weeks they were with us, I learned that we have more noisy toys than I knew, and that they could make more noise than I really thought possible. It was an 8-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 1-year-old. But because they were with us and making a lot of noise, I remembered that I have this toy. You know what it is? It's called a Jacob's Ladder. And it's sort of an optical illusion. It looks like, oh, somebody should come up here who knows what they're doing. It kind of looks like it's jumping around, but in fact, it just goes back to the same position, back and forth and back and forth. I researched it to find out why it's called a Jacob's Ladder, and nobody knows. Nobody knows how long it's been around, but probably 4,000 years. It's thought to have existed in China a very long time ago, perhaps even as long ago as the Jacob that I'm going to talk about today, and the original Jacob's Ladder, which wasn't a ladder at all. Before we go into today's scripture, I want to give you a little bit of background about Jacob. Now, many people who haven't really read the Bible very much think that all of the people in the Bible were heroic and wonderful and saintly. And all of them had great relationships with God, loved God, and followed God in all that they did, thought, and said. Anybody here believe that? Don't put your hand up very high. It'll embarrass you. Because as it turns out, every person from the Bible till now that God calls is flawed, seriously flawed. We are all sinners and anxious, anxiously awaiting God's grace and mercy and forgiveness and grateful for them. And perhaps none so much as Jacob. The Jacob saga in the Bible is perhaps one of the longest in the whole Bible. It's the story of generations and generations and generations. And we have a whole lot of details about Jacob's life from before he was born until the time he was a mature man at the time of the story that we're going to be engaged in today. But from birth, he was a naughty kid. Inside the womb, he and his brother fought. They were twins. Yeah. Inside the womb, before they were born. In fact, Jacob came out grasping his brother's heel of his foot as though he wanted to pull him back in so he could go first. It's all part of the story in Genesis. As they became middle-aged, Esau married. Jacob didn't. And we're told that he was middle-aged, 77 years old. That's middle age. When Tell me the joke later, huh? Somebody back there is saying, yeah, 77's middle-aged. I'm going to live to be 140. He decided, with his mother's prodding, at 77, he was still living in his mother's house and did everything she told him to do. But he decided, with his mother's prodding, that he was going to cheat his brother out of his birthright. Now, in those days, the firstborn inherited everything, absolutely everything. Second kid got nothing, absolutely nothing, including no blessing. Now, I like to think, as a mom, that I treat my kids equally and that I pray blessings upon each of them, even, you know, Christine Beer, who lived with us 20 years ago as an exchange student. I pray blessings upon her and her family, even when the kids are noisy. Maybe especially when the kids are noisy. I think we all try to treat our children equally. Well, this mother preferred her younger son and pushed him forward, but the father wanted to be sure and follow all the rules, so he was giving everything, including his blessing, to Esau. And Jacob wanted it all, and his mother wanted him to have it all. So she made the dad's favorite food, had Jacob dress up in his brother's clothes, smeared him with his brother's smell, and sent him in to his blind father to convince him that he was actually Esau and to receive the blessing. So, and they did deceive the father. So this guy was a liar, a cheat, a scamp, just all around, and a mama's boy. Just not a really pleasant character. His brother, we don't know much about Esau, but apparently he was a bit nicer and more pleasant. You'd think the mother would like him. Well, after Dad blessed Jacob, older brother was so angry that there was great fear that he was going to kill the brother. Because he'd stolen from him. He'd stolen everything from him, including the blessing. So mom said, you better hightail it out of town, go to my relatives and find a wife at 77. And that takes us up to today's story. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Now, this gives you an idea how sudden his departure was and how he didn't pack for the journey. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. You got to be pretty desperate to use a stone as a pillow, right? And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, "Sure, the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Why would God reward an idiot? A liar, a cheat, and a thief. And he gets God's blessing along with his father's blessing. Why? Lest you think that biblical characters are all righteous and remarkable and noble and honorable. Take a look at Jacob. And Jacob is promised to be the father of many. He's a descendant of Abraham, and through him, the 12 tribes of Israel are born, birthed. Why? My best answer is because he had potential, and God knew his potential, and God had plans for him. Now, anybody remember Peanuts? Charles Schulz, you know, the little guy that played the piano? That's Linus, right? Schroeder? Okay, it wasn't the little guy that played the piano. It was Linus who said, the greatest burden, the heaviest burden a person can have is to have great potential. You know why? It's if you don't meet it. If you don't meet your potential, if you don't maximize your life to actually fulfill your potential, there's a whole lot of guilt, a great big burden that comes with it. As we age, at some point, we have to say goodbye to all the things, the important things we thought we were going to do with our lives and never did. I never will be the first president, woman president of the United States. It's not going to happen. Of course, I never wanted to be either, but Linus said, the greatest burden you can have is to have great potential. Jacob had a great potential. God knew it. God would not let him alone to be a totally depraved idiot, liar, cheat, and thief. God sent him a dream of angels ascending and descending what we call Jacob's ladder, that was no more a ladder than this thing is. Often it's thought to have been a ziggurat. Not cigarette, but ziggurat with a Z, which was a sort of thing that looked almost like a pyramid with a lot of platforms, easy to go up, easy to come down, that a whole lot of angels certainly could have gone up and down. And that's probably closer to what Jacob saw in his dream, this enormous platform kind of thing with angels going up and going down. And what does that mean? Why was that what God sent to Jacob? It was a connection. Remember, this happened. Jacob was probably born about 2,000 years before Jesus. They didn't have Jesus yet to transform them, to give them a mechanism for forgiveness and eternal life. This was God saying 2,000 years before Jesus, there is a way to bridge the gap between heaven and earth, and I can do it, even when you're a totally depraved idiot. a liar, a chief, and a thief. Jacob's ladder is an incredible invitation to us as well. I don't know if there's anybody here as totally depraved as Jacob was. And after his mother sent him off to her people, he did wind up with not one but two wives and a couple of concubines and 12 sons and one daughter. And as long a story after this event as I told you about before the event, all of it in the book of Genesis. And left behind the heritage of the 12 tribes of Israel. Because God was able to bridge the gap between heaven and earth that no man could do. Even with all the animal sacrifices, even with all of the repentance in the world, nobody could bridge that gap but God. And that Jacob's ladder is our invitation into a relationship with God that bridges the gap between our sinfulness and God's forgiveness. A forgiveness that was being offered 4,000 years ago, and that was fulfilled 2,000 years ago with the coming of Jesus. It's the forgiveness, the atonement that we remember every time we celebrate communion. Every single time. And so we turn to the communion liturgy that we find on page 13. And we remember God's willingness, God's eagerness, God's desire to be in relationship with us that existed from the beginning of time, from the time of our creation, and was fulfilled only when God himself came to fulfill that promise. Let us pray the prayer of confession and pardon found on page 12. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. We'll move to the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right. And a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. Delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread. And he gave thanks to God and blessed it. And then broke it and said to the disciples, "This is my body broken for you. Take it and eat." And then he took the last cup of the meal and gave thanks for the fruit of the vine and blessed it and said to the disciples, "This is a new covenant poured out for you for forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. The United Methodist Communion table is open to all who seek a relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a member of the church. You don't have to be a member of any church. You just have to want that relationship. That is all that God asked of Jacob. Love and serve me. That's all God asked of Jacob. That's all God asks of us. We want the communion table to be available to all who wish that relationship, so we have gluten-free alternative in the center of each plate of bread. The ushers will be serving you in your seats. Will those who are helping to serve communion please come forward?